Our session is called Helping Singles Glorify God. And I'd like to start off this session with a couple of introductory remarks. The first one is the single population in the U.S. is growing. We have to just face that reality. There is a great need for single counseling. We live in a university town, and one of the things that we're observing is that the university is adding more and more positions to their mental health services, especially for students and faculty and staff. And that just reminds us of the need out there, because so many young people, even though they seem like they may have their act together, they may have a purpose that they're living for, here they are going to school and seeking an education to prepare them for life, and yet nevertheless, there's a number of issues that are going on in their heart and mind that they would really like to talk to someone about. Then we also want to emphasize the reality that we can't address every single situation in this session. We know there's a lot of ways that people can be single. One is, of course, they were never married, but others were married and divorced. Others were married and become widows or widowers. Others have children, either inside marriage or outside. And so there's a lot of possibilities, and our session is going to be geared primarily toward singles who do not have children in the home. Some of the comments that I will make in this session don't really apply to those who are seeking to raise their children on their own. So we have additional sessions dedicated to helping parents parent alone. But this task is to help singles and those who do not have children. So this could be a single who was never married, or it could be a single who, through either death or divorce, became single. The third thing I'd like to highlight is that when we have a single person coming to counseling, they need to be viewed as a person who has genuine hurts, they have real meaningful struggles, and they would benefit from others loving and caring for them. And I raise this because there is always the potential when we're married to see singleness as a condition that we'd love to have, maybe at least for a week or so. I mean, I know that many years my wife and our children would travel back to visit our parents who at the time lived in the same town, meaning my parents and her parents. And so it was a wonderful opportunity for her to take the kids to get some special grandparent time. But I wasn't always able to go on those trips. And so I had, in many cases, a week all to myself. And I remember one particular week where I was kind of excited about that. I was looking forward to this time when I could just sit back, relax. I could make the food that I want to. And so I had a plan in my mind. And I got home that first night after they had left, and I made chicken Alfredo for myself. Now, mind you, here's the thought process I have. I want to make enough. If I'm going to make it, I want to make sure that I have enough. And so I decided to make 2 pounds of fettuccine noodles. I grilled up 3 pounds of chicken breasts. And man, I was in chicken Alfredo heaven. And so here we were. I was cutting this up, getting it all together. And I dished up my plate worth of chicken Alfredo. And I went out and I watched the news as I enjoyed every bite of it, enjoying the relaxing time. And what I didn't realize, however, is that when I went to clean up, I actually had what it looked like more left in the pan than what I started with. I don't know how that happened, but it just seemed like, oh my goodness, I've got a lot of food here. And it was going to take the rest of the week for me to eat that. So the cool part was I made one meal the entire time, and I was able to eat on it all week long. Now, all joking aside, the reality is that's the single's life all the time. It's not just one week. And by the end of that week, I'll tell you, I was ready for my family to come home. I was ready to see my wife and my children and have some fun, enjoy one another's company. That's just not the experience that the singles have. And so we have to remind ourselves of the value of caring for them and seeing them as people who have hurts and struggles and not having a mentality of, boy, I wish I was in their spot, even though that statement would seem pretty outrageous to them. One other illustration of this that just really struck me is one particular year, we had as our habit to go home on Christmas Day. We would have some time as a family, and then we would go off to go visit our extended family later on Christmas. And this particular year, we weren't able to do so, and so we invited some single ladies over to our house. And one of the things that really shocked me about that is we decided we're going to have a nice meal. We cooked up some turkey and made all the fixings to go with it, and we were going to have a wonderful Christmas dinner together. And one of the things that really shocked me is that they wouldn't leave. They wouldn't leave. I mean, it was so funny. I'm sitting here thinking, we're not that cool. We're not that funny. We're not that friendly. This is getting kind of boring. And yet, nevertheless, whatever boring we had to offer was a whole lot better than going and being by yourself on Christmas Day. And it was just a good reminder that that is the life of a single person. And so as we begin thinking along those lines, what is it that we're trying to accomplish? What are we trying to help them do as a result of our counseling opportunity? And I want to start with this statement. Single persons are to glorify God and worship Jesus by using their freedom from worldly concerns to serve the living God. Now some of you would say, well, wait a second, that's a statement that you could make for practically anyone. And there's a sense of truth to that. And so one of the tasks that we're going to have is really thinking through, going beyond what brings the singles into the counseling room. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Right now, I want us to think, what does it look like for us to really help a single person adopt this kind of life? What does it mean to glorify God and worship Jesus by using whatever freedom I have to serve the living God? I'd like to suggest, and this is a passage that you have seen and heard many times in counseling training, Colossians 1, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. So how is it that we're going to help our single counselee love Jesus with all their heart? How is it we're going to help them to live in the reality of all that Christ has done for them? How is it that we're going to help them think about the reward that comes to those who diligently seek him? How are we going to help them work at their conversations and their thoughts and their motivations so that they become Christ-centered? That's really what we're getting at. Now, I agree, we're going to have to do that with essentially every counselee, but here we have a single. So what is unique or what is special about that situation? And I want to suggest to you that because we're dealing with singles who don't have the responsibility of children, we have other sessions that deal with that, that we have a situation where we have an opportunity to help singles to think about the mission that God has for them at this point in their life. I'd like us to consider for a moment how sometimes it's possible that some areas of the church might view or think about a single. And here's a little chart that contrasts what Scripture has to say about that compared to what some church cultures might say. For example, singleness is an opportunity for undivided time and attention on the things of the Lord. There is a trade-off that is going to take place where the church sometimes says, well, singles waste too much time and learn to focus on themselves. Or they're able to carry out tasks for the Lord, which would be difficult for a person with a spouse or a child to accomplish. But the church might say, well, there's no real proven character and thus no leadership responsibility, as if a person had to be married in order to grow up enough in order to attain a leadership position. You know, the old statement that a man grows up when he gets married, that's not a biblical one. The Bible says singleness is good, and then certain circumstances is actually to be preferred. Yet the church might treat singles